We're talking about the market for cheese and what producers are experiencing. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here. We are America's Dairyland for a reason. Hands down, the top cheese-producing state last year, nearly 3.4 billion pounds. California trailing us, by the way. That's data analytics from Statistica. Are you a cheesemaker or processor? What's it been like working in the pandemic? Have you noticed a change in exports or sales? Have prices stabilized? Can you reach your customers? 800-642-1234. Suzanne Fanning is Chief Marketing Officer for Wisconsin Cheese and Senior Vice President at Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. Suzanne, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me today.
Well, paint a picture for us. How are cheesemakers doing at this point in the pandemic recovery?
You know, I think like every other industry, it's just been a super weird year for cheese all around. But I will tell you that retail sales were certainly up. Butter sales were up 22%. Cheese sales were up 13%. Ice cream was up 10%. And dairy milk sales were even up 2%. So it was an interesting year, and it seems like people returned to that real dairy that they truly loved.
Well, we all recall how some milk suppliers were dumping milk early on in the pandemic, that supply chains were initially turned upside down, super broken. What are some takeaways from all that upheaval for the cheese industry?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, the industry just went into action as quickly as they could to make sure that we were finding homes for all of that milk. And in the end, cheese companies were even having trouble keeping shelves stocked because they needed to produce so much cheese. So again, I think that cheese provided a few things. There were a few consumer trends that we saw. One is that there was that comfort boom. Okay, so consumers wanted to return to things that made them happy about their lives, to return to a simpler time. So we definitely saw that rise in consumers cooking these like grilled cheese sandwiches that they had when they were young and macaroni and cheese, all of that comfort food. The other thing that we saw is that since consumers were not spending money on things like travel and entertainment, they were more likely to spend money on food like great cheese. And cheese is one of those little indulgences that folks could make a really elaborate cheese platter when they sat down to dinner with their family. As you know, that could be the appetizer. And they would feel like they were really doing something neat, like they were in a restaurant. So it was interesting to see how consumers did turn to cheese. Now, we had a record-breaking year for the Wisconsin Cheese website. I mean, our all-time record, I think, was the year before, and that was 1 million users. And we had about 2.8 million unique visitors on our site this year. And the number two page was recipes. I mean, people were looking for those cheesy recipes.
Well, there's no shortage of grilled cheese and mac and cheese in our household. And I can see what you mean by that comfort boom, because people were looking for comfort, especially early on when we were all holed up at home. So what do cheese sales currently look like here?
So cheese sales are still up. It's hard to compare it. And I think, again, with any industry, to compare it to last year, because last year was just so strange.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what we're seeing is that some of those cheese sales are really holding up. So the March 2021 cheese sales at retail were up 9.9% compared to March 2019.
We have Suzanne Fanning with us as we discuss the state of the cheese industry. She's Chief Marketing Officer for Wisconsin Cheese. Have you been unable to find your favorite cheese? You can ask about it. What is your favorite cheese, cheese lovers? We want to hear from you. And how are you cooking with cheese at this point? Are you planning to attend a dairy breakfast this month? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Suzanne, give us some historical context here. I mean, last month the state celebrated its 180th anniversary of cheese making. You know, how did it get that toehold in Wisconsin?
Isn't that amazing? Yes, 180 years of cheesemaking. And what's really interesting is that Wisconsin has only been a state for 173 years. So that means we were making cheese in Wisconsin before we were even officially a state. The first cheese factory was established in Lake Mills in 1841, and that was built by Ann Pickett. And there were even reports of people making cheese in the state before that, but this was the first official cheese factory. What's really neat about Wisconsin is that settlers came over from Switzerland and from France and from Italy and Germany, and they brought all of these great cheese-making traditions with them. And they settled here because the land reminded them of the homes they'd left behind. We really have the perfect setup for dairy farming and making that great quality milk to turn into great quality cheese. And so that's why we had so many different cheesemakers settle in the state of Wisconsin. But what's really, really cool is that not only do we have those old world traditions, we have this great Wisconsin innovation. So we're continuing to innovate all the time, creating new favorite cheeses. And Wisconsin has even created brand new cheeses. I mean, obviously, I'm sure most listeners know that Colby cheese was invented in Colby, Wisconsin. But we didn't stop there. We have all kinds of different cheeses that we're making. It's an incredible cheese-making community in Wisconsin, collaborative and just helping each other and challenging each other. And so it's really cool to see that the stuff that comes out of Wisconsin. It's no wonder that we win more awards than any other state or country.
Suzanne, do those early roots give us a leg up today? I mean, we are far and away the leading producers of cheese in the U.S.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we've got some great families who came over here and settled and just brought those incredible cheese making skills with them. So definitely that has helped us a lot. And just a lot of other things that we've done. I mean, we've remained the leaders in quality and innovation through things that we've done. Like, for instance, we're the only state in the country that requires a license to make cheese. I mean, that's kind of shocking that no one else requires a license. We also are the only place outside of Switzerland where you can become a master cheesemaker. And becoming a master cheesemaker takes a minimum of about 13 years. So to us, it is like serious business, this cheese making. So that's another reason. We also have the Center for Dairy Research down at UW, which helps us kind of lead in innovation.
Let's bring in a caller now. Lisa is joining us from Madison. Hi, Lisa. What would you like to say about cheese?
Well, I'd just like to add, we lived in England for a few years, and we would drive to like Cheddar, England, where they make the cheddar in the caves. They've done that for I don't know how many centuries. We still like the cheese in Wisconsin best. We would go to France. We'd have some cheese there, and we still say, oh, Wisconsin cheese. We have friendly arguments with our friends in England. They have to come and visit us in Wisconsin because the cheese there is so much better. And it's true. We really did prefer it. It's just the best.
Lisa, thank you so much. Suzanne, you know, Lisa lived the world over, but still comes back to Wisconsin for finding her favorite cheese.
I'm so glad to hear it. I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much for saying that.
Well, I want to ask you, too, Wisconsin has led the country in farm bankruptcies. How has the decline in the number of dairy farms and the number of herds affected the cheesemaking industry?
Well, yes, that's definitely sad. But what we are seeing is that some farms are consolidating. There's still the same number of cows. So farms are getting bigger. Businesses some businesses are making it work really, really well. The cheesemakers are committed to working with their local farmers to try to minimize that happening. But yeah, that is unfortunately something that we've seen. We're still over 7,000 dairy farms strong, and so that's encouraging to us. But yes,
do you find that cheesemakers make a relationship with a specific dairy and then stick with that dairy to make their cheese for a long-term commitment?
Oh, they absolutely do. And a lot of cheesemakers work with a variety of different dairy farmers because they need a lot of milk to make cheese. So it's a 10-to-1 ratio to make cheese. So they do, a lot of the cheesemakers will say they work within a 50 or 70 mile radius, and they have the milk trucks that go and pick up from all of the dairy farms in their area. But it is a very personal relationship. And we know that we had cheesemakers who were just committed to saying, you know what, I'm not going to let bad things happen. I'm going to make sure that I'm continuing to make cheese and I'm continuing to buy this milk. And so we saw some great examples of that partnership, particularly over the last year.
Suzanne Fanning is Senior Vice President at the nonprofit Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. We're taking a closer look at the market for Wisconsin cheese, where challenges are at this stage in the pandemic. Do you buy specialty cheeses on a regular basis? What do you seek out? Is your favorite cheese available to you? Restaurant owners, what do you notice about the market when buying cheese for business? 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a minute with Suzanne Fanning here on the Ideas Network. We're talking cheese sales and exports in the market for cheese producers at this stage in the economic recovery. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A milk marketer for a dairy co-op in Madison told WPR back in March that many small cheese plants in the state had gone from being steady consumers to buying milk sporadically because they were struggling to move their inventory. Cheese producers, what are sales like headed into summer? Milk suppliers, what do you think of the market for cheese? Join in 800-642-1234. Suzanne Fanning is with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin with us for about 10 more minutes. Simon is joining us from Dodge County. Hi, Simon. What is your question?
I'm a retired dairy farmer. I started in about 1978. We got about $15 per hundred. That was considered a very good price at that time. During the Great Recession, we were shipping milk for $9.90 a hundred or $10.10 a hundred. The Great Recession, we really had low milk prices, but then they went up again. Now that I'm retired, I've lost track. What is 100 pounds of 3.5% butterfat milk bringing to the farmer nowadays?
Suzanne?
Yeah, you know something? I think that prices have been pretty good recently. I don't have the exact price right now, but what I'm hearing is that a lot of farmers are optimistic in general right now just because prices are doing okay. Of course, they could always be better, right? We know how hard our dairy farmers work, and we like to see those prices as high as we possibly can. We're working hard to make sure we're continuing to drive demand and build support. But yeah, sometimes it is a really tough world out there for dairy farmers. And I just want to say thank you to you for all that you did to help feed the world and help provide nutritious milk throughout your career.
Simon, did you retire from dairy farming on the timeline that you expected?
A little bit earlier than I expected. I was seeing a very poor return on capital and labor, and health issues in the family and things like that. And
mm-hmm.
It just seemed like, it would be a good way to break my neck if I'd have kept going at age 60-something. So I did retire a little bit earlier than I thought I would. That wasn't a very good answer she gave. She didn't really say if milk has gone up or down or stayed the same. Or that's kind of the way it works. You expect that milk, and you don't give a very good price for it. That's why there are less dairy farms, and these larger dairy farms are head over heels in debt, and people don't realize it.
Did you find it stressful to continue to grow your herd? Did you find that you were pressured to be able to keep up by having to expand?
No.
Okay.
Lower interest rates, I think, have gotten people into this expansion mode, and some government grants and things like that. I don't think everybody is extremely happy about their expansions out there. Some people wish they hadn't done it. They kind of look back to 10 years ago and think, boy, it was kind of nice the way things were.
Yeah.
I do see more. We used to see brothers farming together, but they would each have their own individual farm on the same road maybe and share equipment.
Uh-huh.
Now we see these brothers consolidating. I've seen as many as four or five brothers working together on one large building site to keep all the cattle together. So things are always changing, that's for sure.
Well, Simon, thank you for calling in and providing that perspective as we look at the state of cheese making and the dairy industry with Suzanne Fanning. She's Senior Vice President at Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Jeff is joining us from Delafield. Hi, Jeff. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. My question is a little lighter than the last one, but I'm interested in Limburger cheese. What is the history of Limburger cheese, and is it true that it's only made in Wisconsin today? Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Suzanne.
It is true that Limburger is only made in Wisconsin, and certainly we have the only master cheesemaker for Limburger in Wisconsin as well. It's funny you should say that because we opened up some Limburger last night and enjoyed it for our Memorial Day celebration. Yeah, so Limburger, for those of you who don't know out there, is like a very pungent cheese. It has a very strong aroma and a very delicious taste. But it's interesting because anytime that we post something on social media about Limburger, we have hundreds and hundreds of comments. There are some serious fans out there.
What makes a specialty cheese a specialty cheese?
That is a great question, and I think lots of cheese experts debate over that, and I'm not sure that we have like a really, really great answer to give. Some people say it depends on the type of cheese. Some people say that it depends on where it is in the grocery store. Is it in one certain case or is it in the other case? So all I know is that the cheeses in Wisconsin are all pretty special to me wherever they reside in the grocery store.
Well, let's look globally here for a moment. What have cheese exports been looking like? Where is Wisconsin cheese going?
So Wisconsin ranks about fourth in the export of cheese, and it's definitely something that we're trying to grow. The top countries that we export to are Mexico, Canada, Saudi Arabia, Japan, and South Korea. In Saudi Arabia, we've seen about a 618% increase for cheese exports this year alone.
What do you think is going on there?
I just think that they're interested in getting some of the great quality food that we can get. I also think that we are working hard to make connections. We work with USDEC, the U.S. Dairy Export Council, and with DATCAP, the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. And the industries are really coming together to make sure that we are helping cheesemakers make those connections, educate them, and pave the way for them to export their cheeses. So in 2021, year to date, we've exported about over $8 million in cheese products to our partner countries.
When you look at other very important facets of the industry, like people going to restaurants more and more, and certainly school lunches, although summer is coming, but you know, certainly the food continues in the summer. What do you see there in terms of cheese?
Well, definitely restaurants are huge consumers of Wisconsin cheese, and the restaurant business took a huge hit last year, as everybody knows. So now we are looking at people becoming vaccinated. We're seeing restaurants opening up, and definitely we're very, very optimistic as we continue to see those consumer dollars begin to shift from sort of the retail sales and back to food service. I think people are becoming more and more comfortable dining out again. And again, they're going to look for those foods, particularly in Wisconsin, those locally produced foods, those foods with a story. People love to see Wisconsin cheese on the menu, and it's called out more and more.
Okay, Suzanne, so here's the biggest question. What is your favorite cheese?
Oh, asking me my favorite cheese is like asking me my favorite child.
I know.
All my favorites for different reasons, right?
No.
Oh, it's absolutely true. I will tell you that if I'm building a cheese board, I love to put some beautiful cheeses on there. So if you look at a cheese like Chris Raleigh's Red Rock, it is a bright orange cheddar because it has double annatto, and then it has a blue vein running through it. So on a cheese board, that's always beautiful. Also, Sartori cheeses are beautiful on a cheese board because they have those soaked rinds. So you can get one soaked in Merlot that has like that deep kind of purple rind. For eating and cooking, I love some of the incredible cheeses that are coming out of Belgioioso up in the Green Bay area. just really great Italian cheeses. Crave Brothers also has some really great Italian cheeses. I mean, there are so many, it truly is hard. And every single cheese board I make, I will say, looks completely different. And I love to like sit around and tell the story about those cheesemakers and about those dairy farmers that have produced those cheeses.
Suzanne, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Suzanne Fanning is Senior Vice President at Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin. For disclosure, Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin is a business sponsor of WPR. Just a quick heads up on our programming. We are preparing to hear from Dr. Anthony Fauci on the morning show this week. We want to collect your questions ahead of time for Dr. Fauci, the chief medical advisor to the White House. Leave your question at this number. Here it is, 833-424-3327. That number again, 833-424-3327. Be sure to mention your name and city so we can thank you for the question. Just ahead, we look at the job of electing district attorneys and why these races so often go uncontested. That's after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.